Praise God. Don't you feel the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. It is so wonderful to be a Christian. So wonderful to be a Christian. I want to read a little bit from the 11th chapter of the book of Matthews. I feel like that I should read this. And I always love to read what I feel that I should read. The Lord gives it to me. I don't plan it. He gives it to me right at the very time that I come up here. Matthew, the 11th chapter, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John, What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violence taketh it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. In the 10th verse, For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. I want to talk to you just a few minutes tonight. And I would like to, as I take maybe a few moments tonight to talk with you, I'd like to relate one or two little things that might be of benefit to you, might be of interest to you. You know, John had been put into prison, and he had begun to get a little bit worried. You know, nobody wants to die. But John was fixing to lose his life. And there he was pinned up behind the bars, as we say. And he had been ready to die for Christ. He had been ready to go to prison for Christ. He had given his entire life in the wilderness for God. But when he was pinned up in prison, then the devil began to harass his mind. As the time drew near for his departure, the devil began to pounce on John and began to put questions in his mind and in his heart to make him to wonder if that really was the Messiah that had come, and that if that person that he had baptized really was the Messiah. Things began to go through his mind, even though he remembered that God had said, Whomsoever you see the Spirit coming upon and remaining on him, then you know that this is he. And John had saw the Spirit of God come down upon him, and not only come down upon him, but he had seen the Spirit of God abide upon him, staying with him. Wherever Jesus went, the Spirit of God stayed with him. It didn't come down upon him as it did the prophets. See, John, up until John's time, it was never known that the Spirit of God had ever come upon anyone and stayed with him. Maybe the Spirit of God would come upon the prophet. Maybe the Word of the Lord would come to the prophets. And they would say something and then the Spirit would lift. You remember? In the Old Testament, Micah, or one of the prophets back there, when they slapped at him and said, which way did the Spirit go? The Spirit of God would come upon a prophet. But God said, John, there's going to come one, and the Spirit of the Lord isn't just going to come upon him, but the Spirit of the Lord shall abide upon him. He shall continue with him, and upon whomsoever you see it abiding upon, ye shall know that this is he. For behold, I send my messenger before my face. That was the prophecy. That was of John. For behold, I send my messenger before thy face to prepare my way, Jesus said. So John, when you see this one coming, you know that you prepared the way. You know that you're that messenger. But when you see this one coming, that the Spirit will abide upon, he is different from all the rest. All the rest of them, he is different from them. God has always had a prophet. God has always had a move. Always something's been going on in the earth for God ever since the days of Adam. The Lord has never left us without witness. We have his wonderful Spirit with us. We have his wonderful mind. We have his understanding. And God is always doing something. You know, I pity the ministers of today. I pity the churches of today and the church people that go to church continually, ritualistics, all kind of motives in mind, fame and popularity and money and prestige, and never having come into that wonderful, glorious thing that God is doing, that wonderful world that's promised to the saints of God. I pity those people. What a sad, sorrowful, miserable life. The Bible speaks of them as being the Laodicean church age. Rich, so they say, have need of nothing, but yet they're miserable, wretched, and blind. But you know there's a real experience with God. John had got a hold of this wonderful thing of God, but he never had gotten into it the way that Jesus was into it. Jesus was born of that Spirit. Jesus was born to that Spirit. How wonderful it was. Jesus was the beginning of a new day. John was the end of an old day. And though he experienced a lot of things when they put him in prison, he began to doubt. He began to wonder. Jesus said, go back over there and tell John all of these wonderful things that are taking place, that you might encourage the heart of John and let him know that God's word hasn't failed. That what God said would happen is happening right down to the T. Hallelujah. You know, tonight some of you get miserable. Some of you get wretched. Some of you begin to doubt. But I want you to know tonight that God's word isn't failing. God's word is happening right down to the T. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I heard a minister not too long ago. He came over to visit with me. And he said he was so weary. Said he was so tired of pulling for money and so weary. And so just worn out from all the ritualistics. But I want you to know that in spite of that, God is still doing something tonight. I'm not weary. The Bible said, be not weary in well-doing. And friend, I'm not weary tonight. God is still doing something. I still feel that wonderful activation of God's presence. What we need tonight is the Spirit of God. What we need tonight is the anointing of God. What we need to do tonight is get into the presence of God. Hallelujah. John said, I don't know. Or that was his attitude. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But they said, tell John what's taking place. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And while John was sitting there in despair, not knowing what was going to take place, he never realized that he was just a few steps from the most glorious treasure and life that had ever been given to mankind. Just a few minutes or a little ways over the hill, and John was going to lose his head for the sake of Christ and enter into that world of glory and that world of riches and that world of power. Just a little farther to go and everything would be all right. And there he sat despondent, and there he sat worried. And here Jesus was on the outside saying, have you heard about John? Oh, you say he's a prophet? Jesus said, I want you to know he's more than a prophet. More than a prophet. You know, you can call a person a prophet and some people get all up in the air and say, my God, don't you think he's going to overdo it? Why, they said John's a prophet. Jesus said he's more than a prophet. Hallelujah. Somebody said, yes, Brother Pike, but there's no buts about it. I tell you that tonight there's more than a prophet here tonight. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody said that couldn't be, Brother Pike. But the Bible said he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. If the members of the body of Jesus Christ is greater than John, and John was more than a prophet, what are we tonight? Couldn't be nothing less than God's. Jesus said you're God's. Couldn't be nothing less than God's. And you tell me that's not something to be happy about tonight? Just to know that God would say that I was more than a prophet would be sufficient. But oh my brother, when I think tonight that we are the body of the Almighty God, that we are the tabernacle of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God himself has come down in the veil of humanity and has personified himself in humanity, and tonight God is tabernacling within you and I. Oh, what more joy could we want? What greater joy could we ask for? I'm so glad tonight that even though there's many people around the world, they're despondent and they're saying, well, I don't know. Maybe the Pentecostal move is wrong. I don't know. Maybe this Holy Ghost isn't what I thought it was. I don't know, somebody would say. Maybe all this about speaking in tongues and these gifts and maybe all this, I don't know. Why then people out yonder driving nice automobiles and having nice homes and they're getting along real good and nobody's bothered. Well, I just don't know. But oh, hallelujah. I want you to know that I know. And I'm glad that I know tonight. I want you to know that I do know tonight. And the despondencies of mankind and the worries of mankind tonight are not besetting to me at all. Hallelujah. I know in whom I have trusted. And Paul said, I'm persuaded that God will keep that which I have committed to him against that great day. Hallelujah. So then tonight, we are on the winning side. I'm on the winning side tonight. I've got God's favor tonight. I trust that you've got God's favor tonight. We need God's favor. If you don't have God's favor tonight, you need God's favor. You know, the Lord is doing something in this very hour that we're in. If John the Baptist could rejoice, if John the Baptist could be glad, if John the Baptist could take his office and do the things that he was doing, what ought you and I to do tonight? How glad we should be tonight when we sing that song, He Hath Made Me Glad. How glad ought we to be tonight? Oh, beloved friend, we ought to be thankful to God tonight. We ought to be rejoicing in Christ so much tonight that the world could see our cups literally run over. How is it that we are not rejoicing when the Bible said rejoice forevermore? How is it that we're not enjoying our salvation when the Bible said Zion shall return with everlasting joy? How is it that we're not enjoying the presence of God when serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost? You know what it is? Some of you haven't ever found it. That's what it is. You cannot have this that I'm speaking of without having joy. You cannot have this Holy Ghost that I'm talking about without having joy. There is no way. But you know, when you live halfway out in the world, halfway in the church, you are a miserable creature. When your mind is wanting the things of the world, and your heart is telling you that that's not the right thing to do, you are a miserable creature. When you're following the passions of the body, when your heart is bleeding on the inside and crying and pleading with you, you are a miserable creature. But I want you to know that if you'll get out there in the world, get God out of your mind, get God out of your heart, that you'll enjoy sin for a season. You'll have some worldly joy. And I want you to know that if you'll turn the world off to your life and heart, get out of the world. Get in God and get in the church, you'll find joy. Hallelujah. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. But you got to get in here and mean business. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Oh, I want you to know tonight, if you want joy, 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 unspeakable and full of glory, then you've got to get on the right side of the fence, friend. Hallelujah. You know, when I think about this Christmas season, I told my wife today, I said, Betty, there's something special taking place. Not that there is any special people with God. Not that there is any special days with God. I'm not special to God. You're not special to God. The Jews are not special to God. No one's special to God as a human being. But yet, as the body of Christ, we're special to God. How do you know that? Hallelujah. We're the apple of His eye. We are special to God. We are the very desire of God's heart. And so it is. God is looking down on us. There is seasons of refreshing. This Christmas is a season of refreshing. This Christmas has to do with a special thing. I see some things taking place. God is so good. How wonderful to know that God is on the main line. To know that God is in our midst and God is in our presence. And we have God's presence with us. You know, when you look and you see the turmoil, you see the Iranian crisis, and you realize what's happening, you know that things are in a bad condition. I heard that the European countries have hundreds of warheads aimed toward Russia, and Russia's upset. I understand that another little country came in on Iran, and they're attacking Iran, and Iran is upset. All around the country, things are happening. Down in Turkey, I believe it was, several people were shot. That is from the States. Things are taking place. Everything is going wrong. But God, at the same time, is gathering His church. He said this will be the beginning of sorrows. Isn't that right? He said, and that shall be the beginning of sorrows. Folks, heartaches and sorrows have set in. Children are scornful to parents. There's hippies and dope addicts, harlots, prostitutes, whoremongers, everything. Wars, tornadoes, earthquakes, trouble everywhere in the government, trouble in the church, sickness, disease, the beginning of sorrows. All of these things are taking place. Jesus said they would take place. They're taking place. But in the midst of all of this, the Bible said, fear not, little flock, for it is thy Father's good pleasure to give unto thee the kingdom. None of these things shall come nigh thy dwelling. Oh, hallelujah. He said, these things can't touch your dwelling place. Oh, somebody said, but Brother Pike, why, they're everywhere around me, but they're not me. Somebody say amen. He said, they'd not come nigh your dwelling. You know why they don't get near my dwelling? Because the Bible said, these are they that dwell in heaven. Hallelujah. And the devil can't get around where I'm at. What a wonderful thing. For God hath chosen us out of this world, translated us into the marvelous kingdom of God. And tonight we are those that are dwelling in heaven. Rejoice ye that dwell in heaven. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth. For Lucifer, he is among ye. I see these crises in Iran. I see the things that's happening. You know, we wrote Comenia a letter. Some of you are familiar with it. God moves us every once in a while. We'll call somebody, write them a letter, or go to them and give them a word from God. Wrote them a letter. I think it costs us right near $70 just to get it over to him. That's a pretty expensive letter. But anyway, God woke me up in the middle of the morning and spoke to me. And I told him in the letter, I said, Khomeini, God told me that if you did not release them prisoners, and if you harm them prisoners, that he would plow your country and your city like a field. And he would lay your cities waste. And that first earthquake that you had was just the warning. And they tell me now that 5 earthquakes have hit. And after that I gave him the warning, before I gave him the warning, not one ship had gone out against him. Not one thing from America had been said of war. But after the letter was sent, Jimmy Carter sent ships in. Troops went around there. This thing has broke out in Iran even today. God will vindicate his word, and God will do what he said he will do. Hallelujah. Like when I wrote Talmadge that letter and I said, Talmadge, I know that this is a bad situation. I said, but God said he'd bring you out without a spot. And I said, he's going to do just exactly that. But the one thing that he said, and that is that you forgot God, and that's why you're in this condition. And when you get out of this condition, you remember God from now on. And Talmadge didn't forget. Many months went by, and they put him through everything, and it looked like he was in terrible condition. But I want you to know at the end of it, Talmadge wrote me a letter. And in the letter he said, and they could not find anything wrong with me. And almost identically, the words that I said to him in the letter, he said to me in the letter, I come clear without a spot or something to that effect. You know what it is? God. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said it's God telling the end from the beginning. God, the Bible said, and it's God telling the end from the beginning. When they thought this little Iranian crisis wasn't going to amount to anything, I said, you can be sure that it's going to bring the Third World War and the end of the world. Oh, that's a big statement, Brother Pike. I said it'll be the Third World War and the end of the world. I said, not only that, but it will be the persecution of the Jews that will bring on the tribulation. And what did the Ayatollah Khomeini decide all of a sudden? That he wanted to give 17,000, was it? 17,000 troops over to Lebanon to fight against the Jews. Why in the world did he want to put 17,000 troops in the hands of Lebanon to fight against the Jews? Nothing had been said about that, but that's what we said would happen. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, let me tell you something. I said out of that crisis, it will bring forth the Antichrist. Oh, you said, I don't believe that. But I say that it will bring forth the Antichrist. I made the statement here a long time ago. I said, just watch Jackie Kennedy. It looks like she's out of the picture, but watch her get around with all this money and get all the money men together. And then watch her come back into the picture. And look at her now. Look at the things that's happening now as she runs for Kennedy. Working for Kennedy with all of her might. What is it? It can't be but one thing, and that's Jezebel and Ahab. I said she was Jezebel. That's Jezebel and Ahab. The deadly wound being healed, Jezebel and Ahab. And what happens in the day of Jezebel and Ahab? Behold, I send my messenger before thy face. And he said, this is Elijah, if you can receive it. In every generation, there's been something that's taken place. And still, there is a move of God in the world today. There is something that's happening right now. Why all of a sudden is this thing like this? I thought about Brother Richard the other day, coming from California. There he is having this wreck up here with Brother Dwight. Just some of the foolish and abased things of the world that the world never notices. But God has chosen them to confound the wise, to reveal the truths of the magnificence of the mind of Jesus Christ in the day in which we live. And there they were up here at this crossing up here. You know up there where they, I don't know where it's a They refer to it as the chicken place, I believe they say. Up there where Brother Gerald and some of the brethren work, Brother Willie and a few of them, you know, they hang the chickens up and take their heads off. I thought, now that's a likely place. Foolish thing, you know, to the smart man. But I thought, now that's a likely place for God to give a good spiritual lesson. And here comes the man from California being related now to that thing concerning Brother Branham. You remember how they buried him in the tomb of the rich man. You know, he joined the full gospel businessmen, and how Jesus, Joseph of Arimathea, remember how the tomb was given to Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? The only thing Brother Branham ever joined was the full gospel businessmen. Here, Brother Richard comes from out there, and over here at night, in the darkness, we spoke of some things that happened about that time. Here he comes down to this crossing, a double cross over there. And here he comes down with to it, Dwight. You remember Dwight Eisenhower and how the comparison was made about the child of iron, Khrushchev, the one of clay? How do you remember that? And here Dwight is in the vehicle. They come down there, and here's the crossing. And all of a sudden, here's the wreck. Brother Richard gets it back of the head. Right here. Now, it is a miracle that Richard is still here tonight doing real good, because he got a bad lick. But God has blessed him and helped him, and he's still here in the church tonight. But you know, at Calvary was where the travail came in. And Jesus said, the firstborn that opens the matrix shall be mine. Is that right? So then, here the travail. Over there, you know, gathering you as a hen of the brood, right there at the chicken place, the head being lost, Calvary. You understand what I'm saying? The crossing. Here it is, California, relating back to Brother Branham. Here's the wreck. The rod of iron child having to do with Dwight. See, the woman, California, going back to the woman side of it, because out there that Brother Richard's wife's dad, Anthony, have I got the name right? Anthony, I told my wife I thought I had it right. Mr. Anthony, having been head of the steel industry out there, relating to the rod of iron ruler. Right. And how do you remember the other night, the little child we dedicated? You remember that? See, the wreck, and the very thing that took place was, they rushed him right over to Sister Mary. Amen. At the Catholic hospital. Isn't that right? Right over. She was the first one to meet him. You understand what I'm saying? Isn't that something right here at Christmas time? Remember Brother Branham going out at Christmas time? Right here at Christmas time, you know, Jesus was born at Christmas time. Mary, you see what I'm saying? The other night, that night when everybody closed up their bowels of compassion, I had a message that night that was on the mystery of life. Nobody would receive it. They closed up their bowels of compassion. You know, that's the way Jesus was. They rejected him. Altogether, they rejected him. Now look at it. You say, but I don't believe that's the way it was, Brother Pike. But it absolutely showed them that very night. That was a spiritual rejection, and you did it here at Little Bethlehem. That very night, God willing to show it. Look what happened. My son George Jr. came down to the house. There he and his wife, her expectant mother. He tried to get a place up here at the motel in Monroe, the place of seven governors, going back to the church ages now. Tried to get a place. They did not have any place. No place in the inn. He had a place. He was supposed to stay here on the campground. Somebody hurt him real bad. The very person that I'd hoped their daughter and their son-in-law hurt my son and my daughter-in-law. And my son, having no place to that extent, slept here on the campground in the car with his wife in that kind of condition with the two little children. Set out here under the flagpole. Brother Taylor found him at 6 o'clock in the morning. Now, are you listening? The same night that it was rejected here, he stayed out there, there with the long hair, with the beard, a good symbol of Joseph of Christ Jesus, having to do with Brother Branham and Brother J.T. Parnell and the daughter, George Jr. carrying the name that was rejected here to that extent,
at the very time that George Israel took over Macon. Are you listening? Now let's look at a thing or two. He sat under the flag with a star that said the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God here at Little Bethlehem. The very same night that the two stars or planets was to come together. I remember because when I got off of my knees that morning, I'd not planned it that way, but I walked in my room, and when I went to lay down, I looked at the clock. It was 5 o'clock in the morning. They were supposed to cross at that time. At 5 o'clock in the morning, there was the whole setting just exactly like God had shown it. No place rejected, despised, couldn't find no place. Let me tell you, God has His way in everything, in the good and in the evil. God prepared David's heart to do the wretched, wicked thing that he did. God wasn't in the evil, but God prepared his heart. God prepared Pharaoh's heart and hardened Pharaoh's heart to do the wicked things he did down in Egypt. Is that right? Because God created the good and God created the evil, and God hath his way in both, and God works all things after the counsel of his own will. What is it that's taking place? Folks, you are being judged and you are not wide awake. You're sleepy. At the midnight cry, you're drowsy. You're not watching. You're not praying like God told you to do. And you're just about to get yourself into problems. You need to wake up. You need to wake up. Something is taking place. Something is happening. Look at the St. Augustine meeting. We spoke of the Fountain of Youth. How that Ponce de Leon, history shows that he came in there thinking that he had discovered the Fountain of Youth. Here we go down to that place. You know, that's going down this way. When you go down to the ocean, you're going down to a grave. Florida has to do with the grave. They buried sailors in the ocean. That's a grave. When you get into that area, it's a greenage. It's a paradise. You know, and you cross over, if you're the right kind of people, you cross over the grave, you go into paradise. Isn't that right? That had to do with Brother Branham's following there. And you know what the word brown means? Tending to corruption. You know what the word palmer means? When it goes to the worm. You know what the word veil means? When it's covered with darkness and it has to be rent. All of those things I spoke to you about. You know what the word glosson means? How it spoke of it having to do with glorification and the name quick. How it had to do with the resurrection. Jesus spoke of the quickening and the dead. Are you listening? Related back to the meeting that we had over in Forsyth, Georgia, when we saw the vision of the big tent sitting there. Later we had it when they said we couldn't even get the spot. It came to pass. It was the tent that came from Brother Franklin Walden, that came from Canada. Is that right? That was moth-eaten with holes all in it where they sprayed something over Canada, and it's just all eaten up every which way. And we'd had the vision. How do you remember the vision where the fire took it? I thought because that wire was across the top of it, it's going to burn up. But I found out when we got over to Upson County that the whirlwind that came down and picked it up when Brother John Carnes was sitting there in the Little Eagle, that was having to do with the rapture, picked the tent up, hung it on a tree, ripped it open, and of course, as I said, the papers come out and give us a write-up. Right there, God said, I am a consuming fire. We had left the tent unmanned to the extent it was not fastened down, for God had sent me over to Brother Walden's to tell Brother Walden that he was not going to die because of those stones it was passing. That those stones had to do with a typical thing of getting over the carnal mind, over Jordan, over the Trinity teaching, coming into the one God message, and going into Canaan, which was moving his ministry into Canada, having to do with Canaan land. How do you understand what I'm saying? It came to pass exactly like we said. The rent veil, the tent being rent, that had to do with Calvary, that had to do with the crossing, that had to do with the getting over of death, having to do with going into the Canaan land. Have you got a minute now to listen? Going down to St. Augustine, the fountain of youth, Ponce de Leon. Leon, backwards, Noel. Noel, who discovered the fountain of life? Jesus. Who but Jesus? Noel, Noel, lovely Noel, the song says. Now, so we see going into that arid earth had to do with death, had to do with the grave, had to do with paradise. The brother Dwight, the one that was preaching, David Dwight, preached the message concerning David when we said that David had to do with Brother Branham. And also that David Terrell was the breach over from the ministry, having to do with it on the woman's side or the feminine side, which was the wife and the children. That Brother Parnell had to do with it on the masculine side, which was Judah. The 10 tribes going to the woman, the children, Judah and Benjamin on the other side of the masculine side that follows the revelation and the word of God, while on the woman's side it follows dancing and shouting and sensation. Somebody say amen, I love Jesus. Having been split up 975 B.C., the days of Solomon, when Jeroboam took 10 tribes from the son of Solomon, Rehoboam, Israel had not been split up till that time. Down in the Babylon, they went. Since that time, they've been split up. But in the end time, Israel was to come back together. The spiritual Jew, the spiritual perspective of it, has been divided. The woman has not submitted to the man. Somebody say amen. Amen. Why is it that the woman is not submitted to the man? Because this is the western part of the world over here. The woman, she's in Ru. Israel is the eastern part of the world. Salvation is not of the western part of the world, but salvation is of the Jew. The head is not in the western part of the world, so far as the natural part, but rather in the eastern part of the world. Jesus. In the western part of the world, it's a spiritual Jew. Christ is the head. How do you understand what I'm saying? So it's a spiritual move and a fleshly move. The woman being the bodily part. The body is not subjected to the spirit. Therefore, the woman is not subjected to the man. You know, we done a little article the other day. They got it coming out called The Mystery of Life and Creation. And it explains a few of these things that we're saying in the event that you're able to get a hold of the little book. But look, this shows us that the church has been divided ever since Calvary. There's been a division. Look at the present day things that you're acquainted with that you can understand. Going down here, the person that pastors the church where we went to, are you listening? Has one thing in mind, that's to get control of the Brother Branham followers. It signifies corruption should it happen. But the name Glosson has to do with glorification. By that means it is working. When we went down there, we stayed at a place called the Siesta. Sleep. Right next to a little court called the Santa Rosa Trailer Court. All of it falling in place. When we went to Pensacola, it was Santa Rosa County. Now there's something fixing to happen that we'll lead up to here. But notice this. The death, the burial, the resurrection. Some of you remember out here a few days just before we went, we took this cross that Brother Charlie had given us out here. Brother David Paul had brought it from down in the bottom of that building. Now notice how foolish these things are and how rich they are. Back in the bottom of the multipurpose building, they had piled up stuff everywhere. But there came a day that signified a resurrection. I spoke of it. They took all of the things out. And what happened? Some of them they restored back to the use. See, coming out of the grave. Some of them, where did it go? Across the road that we said had to do with Jordan. What did it do? It went to the bottomless pit over here behind Brother Tobias. Is that right? In that big gulch. Are you listening? That's the way it's going to be in the day of judgment. The foolish and the base things of the world to come out of the wise. The mind of Christ has made it every bit. Everything, though you may not see it, friend, everything that takes place has to do with the spiritual things of God. It's the mind of God in action. We took the cross that he brought out of the bottom of it. Over here near the big oak tree, when they went to put up the telephone post that came from EMC. Now remember, electricity, a telephone post, represents a cross. Communication. When we went to put the video cable to carry our video from here on the home grounds over across the road, which we said had to do with Jordan, going over to Brother Darrell's, having to go over to that place where Brother Bucky was, it had to do with the law, that which is folded up and laid away. When it went over to that side, at the time that we raised the telephone post, coming from EMC, the place that I was going to build, Little Bethlehem, God giving us a natural type of it, letting us know that the light going over there was going to, that this was going to be the spiritual light, that was going to be the natural light, calling my mind to that for a type. How do you understand what I'm saying? We're getting light from over there now. Bringing the pole from over there, set it out here. See, that's next to the winter and the sun. Setting it out here by the road, we couldn't get it up. So the Lord said to me, the way to do it is to get that cross over there. I went and picked the cross up. I laid it on my shoulder, pulled it over there, and the brethren helped me. We set the cross up, put the telephone post on the top of it, worked together a little at a time with the cross, and after a while, down in a 6 to 7 foot hole, like a grave, down with the cross, down with the telephone post. And it was officially up for the crossing. And it wouldn't have happened again in 1,000 years. But remember, it's at Calvary that God does away with the law. Now, I told you that folded up, laid away on that side. And at that time, you received grace. And out of all the times it could have happened, Sister Grace came walking down the road right by the telephone post that was putting up. Walked till she walked out of sight. Brother Taylor and his wife went over and picked her up. At the very same time, here come an insurance man. The insurance man came by right where we were putting the telephone post up. When he came by, he stopped and he wanted to know if we wanted any insurance. Brother Taylor said, we've got blessed assurance. But here's the thing about it. It couldn't have happened again that way. It had to be God. He was looking for Brother Proctor, which relates back to Benjamin and the Jews, looking for Brother Proctor to give him insurance. Don't you see the benefits of grace going one way and the thing of tribulation going another way to the Jew? When Brother Richard and them had the wreck, Brother Dwight said the only thing you remember jumped out of the car in the way of the tapes was one tape that was called Daniel's Last Week, the tribulation. Now, with Brother Dwight, the other Brother Dwight, David Dwight, down in St. Augustine, all he could talk about was Haiti. The people eating the fire, rolling in the fire, rubbing their face in the fire, the voodoo dancers. That was the hell part of it. The part of darkness, the witchcraft, the torment, the torture, the fear, the bewilderment. At the same time, We had been communicating with Brother Davis about an airplane. This same Brother Davis, I found out, had built a tabernacle over in Upson County where Brother Glosson had also pastored, tying the whole thing together with the tent that come out of Canada that we set in Upson County at the request of Brother Glosson, having to do with Brother Quick, the chains, the catching up, Upson, hanging on the tree. These things that took place when we set up the little teepee that Sister Navi said was likened unto a marriage down in Mexico. Had the service outside with the lights strung around. This was just what we needed to show the Jewish thing, because where Brother John Carnes had stayed in the Little Eagle, it was bought by Brother Carnes for Mexico and had been used as such. That was the use of it, for Mexico. Now then, look at it just a little bit here. When we come back from Brother Glosson's, when we got up as far as Rock Eagle, I felt that we should stop. When I got there, we found ourselves spending the night right by the Big Eagle, where that's put together with the little rocks. Being put together with the little rocks, I thought about something, because we had in our possession the publication of the Vision of the Feathers that took place over at Ensign or Forsyth, where Brother Glosson had come to encourage us to go to Upson County. Putting together the feathers had to do with the rapture, the eagle message, the quotes. Brother Glosson and Brother Branham follow, having to do with the glorification, inviting us right over to Upson County, the tent being caught up in the whirlwind that had to do with it, and Brother Glosson had already withdrawn. Now, here we was, a cycle completed. Because we had just gone over to Brother Walden's, I felt sure that Brother Walden would ask us to go into Canada to run a revival at Elmer. He did. The very same thing that he had done years ago when we were over there at the beginning of the cycle. The brother now has a brand new tent, a great big new tent that he is using, and no doubt for Canada. But the whole situation had changed. Now you listen. He's gone on video over in Canada, which has to do with the vision, spreading from here into Canaan land. Amen. Right at this very time that we come back from Rock Eagle, we stop at the very place where my sister-in-law Sarah lives. Remember, Abraham and Sarah, the mother, the promised son, and the man's name, William's son. Like Brother Branham, you follow me? William's son. Something took place as we left there, came on our way, and when we got here the next morning, there was no church. It had been called off. It was unexpected. Now remember, Pensacola, those places, they don't have, down there, the people don't have the Sunday morning service. It's night service. So the resurrectional part would be here. Caught up. We were caught up when we left down in St. Augustine. We went up toward the Carolinas, toward Garden City, cut across by Savannah, went into Macon, Georgia. But just before entering Macon, stopped at Danville. Now listen to this. Went across a little railroad track, talked to a policeman, the crossing, Jordan Death, in Danville. The serpent now, I want you to tie it together. Crossed the railroad track, went out looking for Brother Cobb's. Now when they crossed the Jordan, they got the first harvest. The corn's on the cob, isn't it right? We wandered all through the wilderness looking, and finally came out, crossed back over the railroad, back through Danville, and where did we go? Within 8 miles, we passed through Jeffersonville. You understand what I'm saying? Passing through Jeffersonville, that had to do with Jeffersonville, Indiana, Brother Branham went right on into Macon, Immediately after we passed through, the next few days, they put George Israel in as the mayor down there. We come right on up here that morning. It was unexpected. We come in and had service a few days later. Here we come and we have the crossing of these planets. We have the dedication of the children. And that very night that Rick stayed out front out there, Ricky, I know one way it means rat, another way it means king of all. Right here in this place, we had a dedication of three. One of them, like Scotty, our little baby. One of them, like Ron's. One of them, Joseph's. Here we had George Gabriel tying an angelic messenger, Gabriel, together with the earthly part, saying, "Let George do it." You know the old saying. Tying it together, an angelic messenger, here at the sounding of the trump, which was the one that announced the birth of Jesus, right here at Christmas time, here Brother Scotty comes up with the glorious dawning. Amen. Or that's what it sounds like. And then about that time come forth little Anthony, the ruler of the rod of iron, Joseph's son, out of the dungeon. How do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Everything was just as perfect as it could be, step by step. Then with this, here come Brother John. Brother John coming over. Now we spoke concerning Brother Marlowe having to do with the prophets, the end of the law and the prophets, and Brother John Lane. He had been staying with Brother John Lane over there at Brother Walden's campground. Here come Brother John wanting us to go to Olive Branch. We had made the statement that there'll be a meeting in Olive Branch. They'll want us over there. There'll be a meeting. Whereas the brother had set up a tent and said, "Brother Pike, you're to come here. I set a tent up especially for you. God told me to tell you that you're to come here and run a meeting." God told me that that wasn't his plan. I didn't go. Now, I know the man's a great faster, 50, 60, and 70 days at a time. But God said no. I didn't go. But the Lord showed me that I would go. Now, here comes the brother the other day over here at Brother Collins Run Revival, coming back through here Monday. Here, we're supposed to go over there. Now listen, going to the Mount of Olivet, returning to the Mount of Olivet, cleaving in half, saying, "Where did you get the nail prints?" The people, John said, was saying, "We'd love to have Brother Pike," said it was talking about the good old times. The resurrectional thing coming up just before they see corruption with all the things that's taking place over there, the same way in Macon, Georgia. The vision, the television programs that we're having, going into the different areas. Brother John said they're talking about it all around, Brother Pike. Even my folks down in Griffin's watching it, down in Macon's watching it. People that was under our ministry that's died out because we hadn't got to them's coming forward. People are talking about the radio program. I got another report today of some of the businessmen around the Lanner area watching. Now, going to the Mount of Olives, the nail prints, the return of Jesus, at the same time, Brother Michael Bradley, we spoke of the war in heaven with Michael, casting out of the serpent of the red dragon, right at this very moment, they're having a 7-day meeting in Tucson, Arizona. We say twins when Brother Branham was there. And A.A. Allen, we spoke of it. That was the feminine part and the masculine part. Out in that area, Brother Branham, who really believed in the revelation of Christ Jesus, I can prove it by his books. Now they've got off on a tangent since his death, and it's a serpent seed thing that only goes back to lust. And that's the very thing that overthrowed Eve in the beginning, was the serpent. Michael, the war. The war in heaven, the spiritual perspective of it, taking to Tucson, Arizona, 7 days of meeting now, that goes right up to the Christmas Eve. Remember, Brother Branham was killed. It was on Christmas Eve. I said he'll die just before Christmas Day. His wife will live and his little daughter will live. They did. Happened just exactly that way. He prayed when he was dying, said, "Lord, spare me." On Christmas Eve, here we are at the Christmas season. The meeting goes right to the Christmas Eve. 13 years, I believe it is, that's passed by, having to do with the woman, like America, the woman on the moon. Going out there, the battle, the serpent being cast out, that's a hot, dusty, dry country. There is Grand Canyon, the Great Gulf. Tucson, the twins. There's the war for of all things for Brother Bradley to take. He's going to take with him the publication of this month's Harvest Herald, which is the vision of the feathers and the Santa Rosa vision. And anybody that's read that knows there's going to be war in heaven, so to speak, when he gets there. It couldn't be no other way. And he's planning to take it out there, but Christmas Eve at this very time, when Brother Branham went away, this whole thing of a Jezebel setting, everything is set for the coming of the Lord Jesus and the return of that which God was doing to begin with. It's the very hour of it, the very moment of it, and from that it has to do with Elmer, Canada, which is the rest for the children going into Canaan. For Brother Branham's followers has to do with the Jewish people. Everything, the whole entire setting at this time, with the planets crossing each other, the same planets they say that appeared at the time of Jesus' birth in Bethlehem. Which means that there is something that has taken place in the last few years leading up to this one thing, and that is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. These things that are happening in the perspective of which we speak are linked together step by step, and we could go on and on and on and on tonight into enough to where you could write a book about it, because it shows that the coming of the Lord is at hand. Now, you say, well, there's a lot of things I don't understand. There's a lot of things you don't want to understand. Because to understand means you've got to yield, you've got to submit, and you've got to serve, and you don't want to understand. But brother, there's nothing confusing about it. It's easy to understand. And the Bible said the wicked shall not understand, but the righteous shall understand. And the wicked shall not see when good cometh, but the righteous shall see. And ye are not children of darkness, that day should come upon you unaware, which means intellectual reasoning of the old fall of the serpent in the garden. But ye are children of the day, which means the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, that day will not come upon you unaware. For ye shall know the day of his coming, and this is the day that the Lord hath made. To understand the children of the day are the day star. We was talking this evening about Venus, the goddess of love, Venus, the day star. That beautiful day star, Venus, the star that led the wise men to Jesus. You know, we sing that song, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. The wise men followed the star that was in the east. And they followed it to the place where the babe lay in the manger. You know, God has really done something. I thought about this place being a baby farm when we come here. And I thought about us having the little green tent like the Bedouins. And I thought about us having in this very place, before we put a floor in here, the hay. It was covered with hay in this place right here. Bethlehem, thou art not the least among the cities of Judah, for out of thee shall come forth the governor that shall govern my people or rule my people Israel. And here the little city of seven governors. The Lord has brought something to pass. Like in the vision where I saw all of the stars that gathered to one side of heaven. And you know what? When we first came here, when Brother Ernie Correll drove the truck, I remember the trip, how that it went by Brother Wells and the different things. My, it would take so long tonight. But it wound up on Manger Street, the corner of Manger and Star over in Bethlehem. It wound up right exactly where they have the little nativity scene. Right here at the Christmas season, something beautiful is taking place. I wish we had more time to talk to you tonight. I really do. I wish we had more time to relate more things. But just a few little thoughts that I wanted to slip in tonight or drop in tonight for you just to feed on or put together or to kick them out, you know, and say, I don't believe it. So that you can ponder as to whether or not it's right or it's wrong. The foolish and abased things of the world to confound the wise. Can you stand with me? How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy. I watched how that the Lord worked something in a vision when the Lord said, I need a David. I said, I'll be your David. And how my little son David came in working with us here as chief of staff of our brethren, that it might be called the City of David. God doing everything for His own glory. Somebody would say, Brother Pike, it certainly is a coincidence. It certainly is. It certainly is. It seems like that there has been so many coincidences that we could write numbers of books from the coincidence or what I call divine providence of God. People have come and people have gone. People have grumbled and mumbled. People have found fault. People have said it's real. People have said it's not so. They did that in the days of Jesus. And the Bible said neither did His own disciples believe on Him. But nevertheless, as it was in the days of Noah, it's the same in our day. So shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. They shall be eating, drinking. You know, we're doing a lot of eating and drinking. Isn't that right? Seem like we love to go to the steakhouse and we just love to eat and drink. Seem like if we just didn't love to eat and drink so much, it'd just be so many other things we could do. But said they'd be eating and drinking. Said they'd be marrying. That is, it would be a day when the passions would literally be wild. Marrying and giving in marriage. Marry one time and two times and 10 times. Marry. They would be eating and they would be drinking and they would be marrying and they would be given in marriage. An excessiveness of eating, an excessiveness of marrying. In the end, that there's nothing wrong with eating and drinking, nothing wrong with marriage, but an excessiveness of it. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. The Bible said they knew not until the flood come and took them all away. Though He had told them over and over, yet they knew not because they believed not. We're not children of the carnal mind, but children of the Christ mind. The day star is dawning in our heart. Children of the day, children of light, the same light that shall delight that beautiful city. As it was in the days of Noah, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. You know, there is no flesh on the face of the earth. No, not any one. Boy or girl, man or woman. But what they have corrupted their way before God. As it was in the days of Noah, all flesh had corrupted its way before God. And the Lord said, unless I shorten the days for the elect's sake, I won't spare any of it. There won't be any of it spared. You know, I made the statement. I said, folks, the Antichrist is at hand. The tribulation is at hand. Whereas you're not going to see Antichrist come to power. Because the church goes out just as he comes to power. And you're not going to be here in the middle of the week to see Satan personify himself in Antichrist to rule and see the horribleness of the things that will be through the tribulation. because we go out the first of the week. But I said, the earth itself shall turn upright on its axis. I said, you'll see. And they told me the other day, Sister Betty said, I heard it on the radio myself. Said, scientists say they're expecting this in the year of 82. Could very well happen. But said, when the planets get in alignment, she said, the radio stated, said that scientists have decided that the earth itself, said they made the statement, said there's going to be mountains and islands that's going to come up out of the sea. Isn't that what we said would happen? And we said that the earth shall fly back upright on its axis. She said scientists made the statement, said it was reported by radio, said they have decided that at this time that the earth will automatically fly back up on its axis to its upright position. And that it will cause such a turmoil until everything in the heavens of the galaxies and in earth will just literally be broken and shaken, torn to pieces. The Bible said the cities, the great buildings, the cities of the nations crumbled. The islands moved out of their places, as John saw the ones that are now up go down, because there was one time when they were under the ocean bed. And those that are fertile, filled with great fertility, that is to bring on the millennium growth that will cause man to live 1,000 years again, will be brought up out of the ocean, the resurrection of the dead. But those that are up, every mountain shall be brought low, as John likened it to people. Down they will go into the watery grave, for God will reject them. Them that are in the grave under the resurrection of life shall they come forth out of the ocean bed. And the earth shall be upright, and those that have had light shall go into darkness, and those that have been in the darkness shall come into light. And it shall stand upright. Everything at this point is in a turmoil. Wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes, troubles, perplexities, bewilderment, pestilence, diseases, everything in the latter times. Children despising the parents, killing each other, nobody being able to get along. Even, I understand that even East Germany is threatening to blow up. I believe it's East Germany going to blow up West Germany. Is that right? Anyway, one part is threatening the other part. Going to blow it up when they've got relatives over there. Unless they tear down the walls. That middle wall of partition being rent. Ready to become a full nation again. It's got to come to that place. Everything has got to come to that place. They say that Korea is taking up arms again. The little nations that we said had to do with the 10 horns, having something like 600 warheads aimed at Russia. The Iranian crisis, the little nation close by has sprang in on Iran. Everything going wrong. Folks, what are we doing? What are we doing for Jesus? What are we doing for our soul? What kind of preparation are we making other than eating and drinking and thinking about what we can do tomorrow and where we can go and whether we're going to have as good a time tomorrow as we had today, or what does the future hold for us in our jolly good way? Oh, I tell you, in the name of the Lord, if you ever run for your life and ever done anything and ever got serious and ever meant business, you better do it now. I'm telling you one thing. Esau sold his birthright for a morsel of bread. You can have the beggarly elements of this world, but it's nothing. But my, what treasures and glory and joy and riches and eternal splendor that is set just before you if you'll run this race with patience. Just a few more days, and oh, what splendor and glory and joy and magnificence. Oh my, I don't want to miss it, do you? I don't. Let's sing a little chorus together.
You know what we need to do is wait upon the Lord. Isn't that right? We get in too big a hurry. We want to live. We want to see things done. We want to be part of the world. But if we could just wait upon the Lord. Let's sing that song. I believe it was yesterday, was it, that Brother Roger was telling me that Brother Braxton, little Brother Braxton, said God spoke to him and said he heard God say, perfect yourself before God. You know, things is getting close. Let's sing this song, can we? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Oh, they shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, to wait. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary, for they shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord, teach me, Lord, just to wait. Sing it one more time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like an eagle. They shall run and not be weary. Or they shall walk and never faint. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord, just to wait. Don't you love Jesus? Are you willing to wait upon the Lord? Are you willing to wait upon the Lord? As we tarry for just a moment, the Bible tells us to examine ourselves and see if we're in the faith of God. You know, this is God. In the beginning was the Word is God. See if your faith is in the Word. See if your conviction is in your ideas, your feelings, what somebody has said, or is it in the Word? You know, we like to believe that we can get by without living holy, don't we? We like to believe that it doesn't matter about the body. You know, we like to take the charismatic outlook, but the Bible tells us to be holy in body and spirit. That I'd like to present you blameless before God in body and spirit. Isn't that right? Your soul, body, and spirit, Paul said. So tonight, let's be holy. The Bible said, be holy, for I am holy. Be therefore perfect, even as thy Father in heaven is perfect. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And I want you to notice this. It said inherit. Inherit. We inherit. You know, we like to think about one day we're going to walk through the pearly gates. But I want you to know that God is a spirit, and you inherit, you receive into your spirit, and it breaks forth from within. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. The Jews missed it because they kept thinking about walking through the pearly gates. But it's inside of you, and it springs forth from within you into everlasting life. A well of living water springing forth from within you into everlasting life. It is a transformating power that comes from within. A seed of life that springs out and changes your body into a celestial thing.
And beloved friend, if you don't get the love of God and the faith of God and get this in your heart, you're not going to have anything in there to spring out. You're going to be dead on the inside, and there's not going to be any life coming from you. But while the radiance of God's sunlight is caressing, drawing on that life, be sure that there's some life in there for it to pull out. And while the latter rain of God is falling, be sure that your fields are fertile. Be sure that you break up the fallow ground. Now is the time. Whosoever falleth on the stone shall be broken, but upon whomsoever it falleth, it shall grind him to powder. You love Jesus? What a wonderful thought tonight. Hallelujah. As I walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, straight to that home up above, I'll spread and cheer everywhere to the sad and the long. Fill my way every day with love. Can you sing it? Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Soon this race will be o'er, and I'll journey no more, but I'll rest in that home up above. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to that shore. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with... Can you sing it again? Oh, fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day. While you're singing tonight, if you've not surrendered your heart to God, I want you to surrender your heart to God. Will you do that? If you've not surrendered your heart, now's the time to do it. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Wouldn't you like to have a real experience with God tonight? While we're singing the song, I want you to come down here tonight. Oh, fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with God's love. Oh, soon this race will be o'er, and I'll journey no more, but I'll rest with my King up above. Oh, let me sing, blessed King, all the way to that shore. Fill my way every day with love. Sing it. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with that heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with that heavenly dove. And let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Can you sing it again? Fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with that heavenly dove. And let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with love. Don't you love Jesus? How do you believe this thing's real? How do you believe it's real? You believe it's real? Well, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Though there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. Cause there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When the good Lord says to Gabriel, set your foot on the land and sea. But Gabriel, don't you sound the trumpet until you hear from me. There ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Oh, there ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. When I hear the trumpet sound, gonna get up out of the ground. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Don't you love Jesus tonight? You know the trumpet is beginning to sound. How many of you know the trumpet is beginning to sound? The trumpet is beginning to sound. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Show my people of their sins and the house of Jacob of their transgressions. Hallelujah. You're closer to heaven than you know. One time a man came to Jesus and he talked to Jesus. And while he talked to Jesus, the Lord said to him, thou art not far from the kingdom of God, because he answered him discreetly. Thou art not far, Jesus said, from the kingdom of God. You know, when we look for the kingdom of God in the right place, and they said, Lord, will you at this time? Will you at this time? Oh, if they had only known. They were saying, you're not far from the kingdom of God. He said, you're not far from the kingdom of God. And here those natural-minded people were saying, oh, God, will you at this time? Will you at this time? And there they were saying, oh, Lord, we're looking for a resurrection. We know someday. And there he was saying, I am. Oh, I am. I am. Don't you love Jesus tonight? Glory to God. Don't we see? Don't we understand? Think of who we are tonight. Where we are tonight. What we are tonight. Oh, glorious friend, the world has missed it. I tell you in the name of the Lord, the world has missed it. Those that are in the natural mind, they've missed it. They've missed it. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, oh, don't you think? I know that they have missed it. Not only has the world missed it, but the church world has missed it. They look for it in the wrong way. God is a spirit. Oh, Jesus said to the woman at the well, he said, woman, God is a spirit. And he seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. For God is a spirit. Neither shall they say, lo, here he comes. Our lo, here he comes. For the kingdom of God is within you. And what is it doing? It is springing forth. It is coming forth, and you are changing from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from revelation to revelation, from strength to strength. Oh, beloved, the world has missed it. They've been tutored wrong. They've been taught wrong. The saints will be gone, and they won't even understand what it's all about. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel it. I feel it. Let's sing the glory, the light of the glory of his unveiled face. Can you? Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face, of his unveiled face. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, it's the glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me, changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Oh, the light of the glory of his unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Oh, it's changing me. Oh yes, it's changing me. Changing me. Oh, the light of that glory of his unveiled face, it's that glory that is changing me. Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Create in us that mind of Christ, the Father in the Son. It's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will be done. Sing it one more time, will you? Oh, let thy will be done, Lord. Oh, let thy will be done. Hallelujah. Create in us the mind of Christ, the Father in this Son. For it's in thy shining glory that we see thy Holy One. Our hope is to be like him. Oh, let thy will be done. I found a new place in the heavenlies, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenlies, in Jesus Christ, my Lord. Don't you love Jesus? I want you to slip your hands up. I'll tell you something tonight. If you've not become acquainted with this wonderful experience of God, but through eyes of understanding, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened to comprehend the heights, the depths, the width, the length, it is happening just exactly like he said. And we're on the verge of the transfiguration. We're on the verge of the transfiguration. And the world has missed it. Everything is all set. Everything is all ready. Hallelujah. Everything is all ready. It's like the song that we sang about the wedding supper. I'm on my way to the wedding supper. Are you on your way to the wedding supper tonight? The song we wrote says, I'm on my way to the wedding supper. Let's sing that. If I can't sing it, Brother Taylor, he can sing it. Well, I'm on my way to the wedding supper. Everything that God has there for him will be free. Well, I'm on my way to the wedding supper. Everything that God has there for him will be free. Sing and shout. Hallelujah. Come up here, Gary. I'm on my way to the wedding supper.